You are listening to the Battle Born Libertarian Podcast, the official podcast of the Libertarian Party of Nevada. Here's your host, Tyus France.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the Battle Born Libertarian Podcast. I'm your host, Tyus France, and sitting in the recording studio, my little home studio with me, is Bruce James Newman. He is a candidate for Nevada State Assembly, District 29. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks very much for having me. I'm looking forward to it tonight.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, how you became a libertarian, unless you were born that way, which is fine?
No, actually, I've been kind of all over the political map. As a young man, I was a bleeding heart liberal, of course. You know, I voted for Jesse Jackson against in the Democratic primaries. That's kind of the guy I was.
All right. Well, what got you to the libertarian side?
Well, then I bought a house, and I'm like, whoa, taxes, hey, and I became a Republican. And then over the past 20-odd years, I was like noticing that they're not as pro-liberty as they claim, that it's in many ways, it's kind of a front. They talk a good game, but when it comes down to it, they don't really live that good game.
Well, let's break that down. Let's make that a little bit more detailed. So what moved you over to being a Republican was really the fiscal responsibility side of things?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then as far as the liberty side of things that got you out of being a Republican, what were those?
Well, the number one thing is the knee-jerk reverence for the police. Mm. Not ever realizing that police are people. They could be wrong. Not ever realizing that, you know, your great hatred for unions should also apply to police unions.
Gotcha.
Who exist to protect the police, not you.
I just saw a really interesting article online where a guy was arrested for shoplifting, and as he was being arrested, he was calling the police Nazis, and they added on the crime of hate speech.
Hate speech,
yeah. Which I thought was really, really interesting that so many people have been calling others Nazis for hate speech, and now they're calling the term hate speech. It's all going around in circles.
Indeed.
Yeah. So you became a libertarian, and what are the big issues that you are passionate about that kind of move you forward, keep you interested, probably compel you to run for office?
Well, the biggest one is civil forfeiture reform. I want to see it banned. I don't even want to see it reformed. I want to see it banned. I think there should be due process if the government is going to steal our property. You know, the old joke amongst libertarians, and who knows how much some of them actually perceive it as a joke, is that taxation is theft. Civil forfeiture truly is theft.
So there's going to be a lot of people listening. For those that don't know, could you give us a description of what civil asset forfeiture really is?
Sure. Civil asset forfeiture is the police can suspect you of a crime. They can take your property, and it is up to you to prove that it is not the proceeds of a crime.
Yep. So from what I understand, one of the things that makes this so prolifically terrible, in my opinion, is that with people, we are innocent until proven guilty. But apparently, that doesn't apply with property. So with property, they can go, oh, it's there's guilt associated with the property regardless, and then it'll be used for, let's say, the police force will sell it and make money off of it, or they'll use it for their own personal gain or goods or whatever. And by the time you actually get it overturned and say, look, this wasn't involved in a crime in any way, oftentimes that property is gone. You can't get it back. Is that correct?
That is correct. You'll see. In fact, there was, I wish I could remember the police department last night on Twitter, there was a police department bragging about their brand new Challenger R80 or whatever, you know, one of those $80,000 Hemi Challengers, which of course was the result of civil asset forfeiture. You know, all they had to pay was the $300 for the police logo on it. And that's, to me, one of the biggest issues with it is there's actually a reward for the police, and they, of course, work in concert with the justice system to there's a reward for them to violate your rights and wage a case against that $84,000 U.S. cash. You'll often see it listed in court dockets that way. The Clark County versus $31,472 U.S. currency.
Wow, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Currency has a difficult time defending itself.
It does. It's almost as bad as the three-year-old toddlers being separated from their parents at the border, who are also supposed to defend themselves.
Yeah. Well, we'll jump back into civil asset forfeiture, but because you touched upon one of the country's biggest hot buttons right now, what's your opinion on the whole immigration situation that's taking place? And for those who are at home that might not know, we've had a very with everybody who's been coming into the country illegally, the law has been when we prosecute them, we do separate them from their from children because there's minors versus adults, and they have two different systems that they go through. It just hasn't really been enforced to a strong degree. From what I understand, it's something like one in every five get prosecuted up until recently, where Trump said, let's prosecute everybody. And the media kind of blew up and went, oh my God, this is crazy, which I don't think anybody's against, or I don't think anybody is in favor of people being separated from their children. I don't think that's in anybody's best interest. But I'd love to hear your thoughts on the whole situation, because it's definitely tricky, and it's been a big hot button everywhere.
It's a giant hot button actually, and to me the absolute insanity of it has been coming out the last 2 days, reading lawyers, pro bono lawyers who are volunteering to represent these children. The children are not entitled necessarily to counsel, and they are supposed to defend themselves against the charge of entering the country illegally. So you have three-year-olds in court trying to defend themselves. Thankfully, they have, there are pro bono lawyers who are helping them, but, they're more interested in crawling on the table and playing with toys than they can't even tell you their mom's name. Many of them are indigenous tribespeople from Central America who speak languages that very few people outside their areas speak. And to me, it's a matter of justice. It really kind of bothers me that we... they're denying due process to these families. The Constitution and the Supreme Court have held that due process is for persons, not for citizens. And that's a big hot button issue. Should it be? The Constitution, at least in my reading of it, doesn't separate, between those who are aliens and those who are citizens. It's, all men are created, it's kind of on everything. And, there's obviously a long enough history of the Constitution, not living up to, or of us not living up to it.
Yeah,
I guess is what I want to say, but maybe it's time we do.
Yeah. It's interesting how immensely tribal we become when, inside of our gated walled garden, for example, mm-hmm. It's like, oh yeah, all men are created equal, and this is public property. But outside that walled garden, suddenly we're not created equal anymore, and this property is not public anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's on. Like, it's just us versus them. We'll bomb the weddings and the birthday parties, and we don't seem to care, at least on a big federal level. But a lot of that change has to happen at the local. The local area before it ever spreads outward, which is what we've seen with gay marriage and equal rights marriage, and we're seeing that currently with drug reform, specifically around marijuana, mm-hmm. which is taking place here. There's so many people that say, there's no point in running as a libertarian. They say there's these two big parties, it's impossible to overthrow them. What are your thoughts on that? Why are you running?
Well, here's my thoughts on that. First of all, if no one tries, then it's going to be the two big parties ad infinitum, ad nauseum. I don't like that idea. I realize that this is probably quixotic this year, that the chances of me finishing second behind two people who have changed, who have exchanged this seat three times in the last 6 years is not very high. What I want to do is I want to get my ideas out there. I want to get the idea out there of civil forfeiture reform. I want to get the idea out there of justice reform. I want to end cash, see if we can end cash bail. Cash bail is, you know, in essence, I guess, in theory, it's a great idea. Yeah, you know.
Well, explain cash bail for us.
Sure. If you get arrested for a crime, you know, you can be released pending your court appearance if you pay to be released, because they figure, hey, you know, you're not gonna skip court if it's gonna cost you. Well, far too many people are unable to meet the cash bail requirements. How many of us? I mean, there are many of us who are not going to be able to come up with $500 or $1,000 or $5,000 straight away. You know, and one of the arguments that I hear is, well, if they can't afford it, they shouldn't do the crime. Well, isn't that what due process is? Aren't we supposed to be finding out if they're doing the crime?
So you're basically saying that we have a system in place that rewards the rich.
Yeah.
And others can't have the same process because they don't have the same resources.
Indeed. And we end up keeping in jail the poor, even when they haven't been convicted or anything. They've only been charged.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's an awful situation. So you're on board to get your message out there and try and impact, even if it win, lose, draw, it's about making sure that the principles end up impacting other people.
It is that, yeah. I want the ideas out there. I don't want it to be a repeat of the last three contests between these two, where, you know, it's he did this, she did that, they believe in this. Why don't we talk about big ideas? You know, if we just bring it down to the most local, why don't we talk in our political campaigns about why we keep increasing by ginormous amounts every year the Clark County School District budget? And every year they end up somehow with a $65 million budget deficit and have to cut teachers and have to cut custodians and have to cut bus drivers. Meanwhile, they pay $600,000 salaries to superintendents. They hire him $400,000 a year assistants. I don't begrudge our schools the money. I'm not that libertarian. I'm not that guy who's like, but my roads, my schools.
Well, it sounds like you have bigger fish to fry. Like when it comes to the philosophy of it, you go, hey, here we have direct theft with civil asset forfeiture, right? So I'm not saying right now the public schools are necessarily the greatest thing, at least from maybe an anarcho-capitalist standpoint, but it shouldn't be the first line of attack when we're trying to create a better, more ethical system. We should go after the more atrocious crimes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One story I like to tell about what made me decide to become a libertarian. Once upon a time, I lived on Fremont Street in downtown Las Vegas, and I drove the stereotypical 2000 Cadillac DeVille with tinted windows. Those of you listening probably can't see me, but I'm probably one of the whitest people you've ever seen in your life.
Almost transparent.
The Las Vegas Metro Police Department really like pulling over Cadillacs with tinted windows at Fremont and 15th Street. And the number of times that I was stopped and I'd roll my windows down and they would be like, oh, I'm sorry. The minute they saw me, I just kind of thought we need to change things.
So they were pulling you over repeatedly based off of what you were driving?
Yeah, you know, it's your license your tag, you know, your license plate light was out, will just give you a warning. You rolled through that stop sign. You have paper tags. You have to have, you know, a movement permit. No, I don't. I do not have to have one. But they make things up. And the idea is, were I a black man, I don't know that I would have rolled away from those four stops. They would have found something.
So what do you feel like you can do? Let's say you get elected. What would be the steps for you to get some of these changes made?
The first thing I would do is I would try to put together a complete criminal justice reform bill that reforms cash bail. I'm all for stopping, for ending traffic stops. In a perfect world, that's what we would do.
About like the stopping people for like the drunk checks, that type of thing, or are we talking like stop and frisk? I guess either one violates the Fourth Amendment.
They do, but you know, oh, that guy's got his license plate isn't illuminated. Let's pull him over. Those stops are predominantly against people of color. They're not against white people predominantly, unless, you know, you've got 4,000 facial tattoos and, you know, and a mohawk. You know, if you're a total nonconformist, then maybe that, you know, the police will pull you over. But, you know, I drive down the street most times in a jacket and tie, and if a cop is behind me, I don't even think twice about it. I have friends at work who will like find an excuse to go to the next parking lot, because they have had it happen to them where they get stopped. Please remember, those of you who are listening, if you get stopped, do not consent to a search of your car. Do not, under any circumstances, consent to a search. Make them bring a warrant. That's just a thought.
I think that's a great thought. I think that's part of your liberties, and I think the more people that consent to those things, it's shocking that how often people will consent to having their rights taken away. And I know that it happens for maybe they're assuming positive intent, but it's unfortunate that oftentimes it is us versus them when it comes to the state. And one way of overcoming that is to become part of that system and change it from the inside. And I can't tell you how much I respect you for doing that. What got you into the party? And I don't mean like just saying, oh, I'm a libertarian and I believe in those same values. What got you a part of it? How did you get involved? How did you find everybody?
Okay, the very first thing that happened with me was I was in 2016. I was a Rand Paul supporter, and you know, because I was still a Republican then, probably by then only nominally so. I was the typical Republican in name only by that point, but I was a Rand Paul supporter. And then when Rand Paul kind of fizzled out, I actually saw Rubio speak. And Rubio actually had a very uplifting message, and I liked his idea of, you know, rebuilding trades here. And we don't all have to go to college, and the like. And then he got crushed, and I decided after the caucuses that was it. I'm not a Republican anymore. They do not represent me. And I stayed a registered Republican only until the June primaries of 2016. And then Danny Tarkanian won the nomination to inherit CD3 from Joe Heck. And the next morning, I changed my registration to Libertarian. And then, because I'm just kind of a nerd and I do things a lot online, I found LP Nevada online, and I started following. And I started going to things. the meetups that they have in various neighborhoods every week, which, by the way, folks, are suspended during the campaign season because we want you to come to, like, our fundraisers and stuff instead.
So how would you suggest other people get involved during this time when the meetups are suspended?
I would go to Facebook. There is a page, the Libertarian Party of Nevada has a volunteer page. You can sign up there. You can go to to lpnevada.org, and at lpnevada.org you can sign up to volunteer there. We are very lucky this year in that we have on the ballot, we have confirmed and guaranteed ballot access for governor with Jared Lord, for U.S. Senator with Tim Hagan. In my area, we have Steve Brown running for CD3, and we have an amazing candidate in Doug Marsh who is running for Clark County Commission in G. I'm actually a very lucky man in that in my neighborhood, I think only obscure offices can I not vote for a Libertarian for.
And the reason we have that ballot access is because enough of you have gone out there and registered as Libertarians. So you have made an impact by going out there and having that effect. You've created it so we have guaranteed ballot access. And the next thing that you can do without having to even get involved is go out there and vote based off of the values that you share with us. That's the next big thing you can do. But absolutely head over to Facebook, find us there, head over to lpnevada.org where you can get involved or send us your money where we can use it to the best of our ability to help reform this system to better match your values that you share with us. Bruce, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being here today. It's time to wrap up. Do you have any final closing thoughts?
I don't, except that if you like my ideas, please, please volunteer. You know, unlike Laxalt and Sisolak, $15 would make a huge difference if you went and were able to donate it to me. That's Bruce, lpforad29.com.
Fantastic.
/contribute.
Excellent, excellent. All right, everybody, that's it for today's podcast. We will see you next week, and until then, make it all about freedom.
This show is brought to you by the Libertarian Party of Nevada. Music is provided by T. Sims. Please support the show by subscribing, sharing it with friends, and leaving a positive review on iTunes. For more information or to learn how to get involved, visit lpnevada.org. Thank you for listening.